So wait, let me get this straight.
Love is different.
You know, there was a... What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? Tell me, from the Saturday Night Live skit, love is different?
Jeez, man, where have you been all this time?
First John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which was seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is at the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him, and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. You have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things unto you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we pass out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandment abides in God, and God in him. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son to the world, so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, he in us, because he gave us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is also, we also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother, whom he has seen cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has not been born of God overcomes the world. for everyone who has been born of God. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has been born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gives eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there's that sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself
from idols.
Good afternoon, lovely people. Welcome to the Scripture Theology Faith Podcast, deeper study resulting in deeper faith. Anyway, welcome. Glad you're here. Thank you for coming. We, over Instagram, within the past day or two, the question posed was vagueness in John's epistle. Now, you might be reading 1 John and you're like, yeah, God is love. And that's honestly what I began for a little bit until I did some further study. Now, there have been many people where it's like, yeah, I know that love is different from Christ's love is different from American love, of course. But 1 John is just, it's just 1 John. So we're going to break this up into a few episodes. We already talked about worship. Right now, we're going to focus on 1 John. And we're going to do a little theological reflection during these times. The scripture was just read. So let's dive into it. Now we know from John's gospel, he often has light and dark motives, you know, trying to remember that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched upon with our hands concerning the word of life. Life was made manifest and we have seen it, testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Whoa, perfect. Right there, we read the gospel of John and poof, we hear the literary structure of, we hear that. Pretty much. We hear, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. And John writes that way, but it does encourage us to encourage us deeper to understand the books. One question I might have from 1 John is, who is he writing to? Who was he writing to? That's a good question. Now, doing some research, we can actually mix some of the situation with the seven churches in Revelation that Jesus talked to. Smyrna, Philadelphia, Ephesus, and the rest of them. So and it's funny to note that Ephesus was actually in Asia Minor. Therefore, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were written in Asia Minor. So we do have an idea where that was. We have an idea where, really, that where these books were written. Congratulations, we got the location mark done. The next question will be, who were the Apostle John's opponents? Now you're reading this and you're like, Rock, this doesn't sound like Paul. He's not saying Judaizers. He's not saying the Pharisees or Sadducees. Just certain issues read between the lines. How does that help me in studying the Bible, studying the Word of God? So let's explain. There are certain, John was, this was a very heated situation, I can imagine. Imagine you're writing a letter to address. Imagine you're having a phone call with someone and you're trying to talk to them in a company. You're not going to go out right and point to the individuals, hey, this person and that person and this. No, you're going to be very, very vague. You're going to explain the issue, but be extremely vague. This was probably the case with John. Now, John was, during this time, he could have been in jail or really older. And so he wrote the letter. Now, it's interesting that according to 1 John 2:19, there was probably a church division. So church split, which we all know and love from the past 100 years. We've seen many church splits. I'm sure you've seen many church splits. But what is really brings these books in unique focus is their early touch of Gnosticism or Docetic ideas. Focusing on the lines of, was Jesus actually human? Now, you read this, you read through the 1 John, and you read, and that makes sense. However, we could do a cross analysis of these opponents and look at 2 Corinthians. So remember, 1 Corinthians, Paul was writing to a messy church, very messy church, churches in Corinth. 2 Corinthians is a second letter from that, except there are super apostles, and the super apostles, you know what, wanted nothing to do with Paul. So really just was Paul laid down his authority, talked about his humility, talked about the thorn in the flesh, talking about the giving that to in from Jerusalem and their sort of fund from 2 Corinthians 8-9. The two opponents from these two books sound kind of similar. I would propose they're probably a little religious syncretistic. Religious synchronism is basically pulling one system of thought, of framework, and pulling other frameworks of religion and believing them, essentially creating a religion. So like it would be like someone creating a god for themselves, but bringing in facts of Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Scientology, etc., etc. So it's interesting to note that these opponents, the people that John is writing to, probably have read this letter and also are really trying to boot people away. One of the verses we read said that they've not come from us. They've been out from us. And so they really came from above. They're kind of like bringing people into their own cult, perchance. Now, we could read this and it's not as clear, but like we can ask, why is John so vague? Wait, we already asked that. We'll run with that. One of the answers we can really say to that, you know, that all scriptures God breathed and it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training righteousness, which is what 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says. He is really speaking to the situation that his audience already knows. No one needs to say more about it. No one needs to speak up about any more facts or issues. Buzz from 2,000 years forward, we are wondering at the historical background and stuff like that. Now, another question is, okay, so does this only talk about the essential Christian faith? Yes, and I would actually argue it shows a side of love, a different nuance to love. We read 1 Corinthians 13 mentioned at weddings. Love is not puffed up, love does not boast, etc. In John's book, 1 John specifically, and we'll go into 2 John next episode, 3 John the following episode, he says that love isn't, he basically describes love as an action. Love is not for the purpose of, with words of affirmation, I guess in our dating age, flirting or just general passion, but really virtues of character. That God is love, which means, and let's expound upon that. Actually, that is a good point. Let's expound this theologically. So we all have our theological mental framework in our mind. We all have the options to choose what we believe in and not to believe in. We have creeds, we have people, we have pastors, all playing a role in our thoughts as to our doctrine. God is love. God is love. The first thing we need to ask is, what is God's character? Now, you've heard this from sermons and bunches of other sermons. Is God's character is righteous. He's just. He's also omnipresent. He's powerful. He's omniscient. He is loving, kind, compassionate, and a bunch of other things. He really is through Jesus. Hold on. We'll stick with God the Father. He is redemptive. He's also sacrificial in his love, which we see this more with Christ. And then love is like agape love. I believe that's what is translated in 1 John. So imagine that love is an action, but that also love is an attribute that only comes from the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. So let's say I have a friend. I have a great friend. And he pays rent for my apartment for the first month. And then let's say I come around and pay for his apartment for a month. And then let's say that everything he does is sacrificial and loving, like not just in gifts, but in affirmations. Like he would say, yeah, you're a great friend. Or I would just keep going on. That is one of the pictures of God's love. We also see this in marriage in general. So, but then imagine what we see in America. The mushy gushy, basically, I want to have this, the very mature type, passionate love that we see in America. Totally different. Now, God did ordain time and place for that, but it's very different. John here is talking about love as believers. Love as believers. We all need to work on and grow in our love for others and for the Lord. I was reminded, I was praying once, and I had to not only get right with God, of course, as a mentor would say, keep short accounts with the Lord. I had to be more open. I was led to treat God and communicate with the Lord more like I would with a normal person compared to really just being like a father, which he is, but there's more to the relationship with that. Just like as if I were talking to someone face to face, there's more than just, but yeah, he's my dad. There's more conversations, more communication. John is showing us that John is protecting his congregation from the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you were to go on YouTube, would you find solid doctrine on there? Would you believe solid doctrine on YouTube? Would you actually believe you are doing theology, or would you only really believe your Bible only? Would you believe you are just reading to read the Bible and there's some aspect of faith in your walk, but there's not all belief there? We could see John's theological method is that he's requiring believers to have faith, and those who do not have faith are of the world. And honestly, they should really be prayed for. We don't know too much about what went on. Some scholars would say there would be a split in the Johannine community, and that there were cessationists, which is basically similar to Sorrentian, like Gnostic, essentially. And so we really need to understand that believing Jesus requires believing in that he's fully God and fully man. Straight up. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man? If someone was a Scientologist or like a, what would it be? Like a Mormon or a set Latter-day Saint, they might believe differently. And that is heresy. Christ is fully God and fully man. And think about the richness of that. Fully God and fully man. Because he loved us, as 1 John 5 notes. To believe in the name of the Son, verse 5:13, chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. If we have anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Very important. So that is the other avenue. That is really the avenue that we are reading this book. That the question is no longer about the vagueness, but it's about how do I know if I'm saved? 1 John will tell you straight up that's how it is, and give you points and truth in your walk with Christ. These books are great for sanctification, in the area of sanctification, growing in Jesus. You've already been saved, justified. We're working our way to glorification. We'll be in new bodies, see Christ face to face. But it definitely is a great book, daily, day-to-day, growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'll cover. Oh, yeah. So the early church also had similar understandings of this. I'm getting there now. So Ignatius, one of the early church fathers, writes this against those who deny the humanity of Jesus. The letter to the Smyrnians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. For I've observed that you are established in immovable faith, being fully persuaded as touching our Lord, and he is in truth of the family of David according to the flesh, God's son by the will and power of God, truly born of virgin, baptized by John, that all righteousness might be fulfilled by him. Truly nailed to a tree in the flesh for our sake under Pontius Pilate and Herod the Tetrarch. To the Smyrnians, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now I warn you of these things, beloved, knowing that you are also minded. But I guard you in advance against beasts in any form of men, in the form of men. We must not only not receive, but if it's possible, not even meet. But only pray for them, if perchance they may repent, difficult though that may be. But Jesus Christ, who is our true life, has the power over this. For if it is merely in semblance that these things were done by our Lord, I am also a prisoner in semblance. And why have I given myself up to death, to fire, to the sword, and to wild beasts? To the Smyrnians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 3. There are some who ignorantly deny him, rather were denied by him, being advocates of death rather than the truth. These are they whom neither the prophecies nor the law of Moses persuaded, nor the gospel even until now, nor our own individual sufferings. For they have the same opinion concerning us. For what does anyone profit me, if he prays me but blaspheme my Lord, and does not confess that he was clothed in the flesh? But he who says this has denied him absolutely, and is clothed with the corpse. Now I have not thought right to put in writing these unbelievable names, but would I then not even remember them, until they repent concerning the passion, which is our resurrection? He continues at times to note that it's really talking about the Apostles' Nicene Creed, that Christ did die and was persecuted, both in that Christ was persecuted under Pontius Pilate, died, buried, and rose again on the third day. This was the Apostles and Nicene Creed, but also mentioned in Tertullian's To the Trallians, chapters 9, 1 and 2, and chapter 10, verse 1. So it really shows, that we cannot deny the humanity of Jesus, and even we cannot certainly over-spiritualize the deity of Jesus, like the churches in Colossae. With Paul's letter to the Colossians. However, we need to pray for them only, as we were told from one of the early church scholars who really knew firsthand the Apostle John, which is incredible. So how does that impact your theological understanding? One application is that we have to study more. When we come across a hyperbole or a phrase that might sound cryptic, we need to continue studying it. We need to continue studying it. It is important to understand that we need to understand context. And context is king. Context is king. The second application is that believers are to love one another in action. So this does not mean being saying, hey, love you, brother. This means loving in spirit and in truth, like Jesus. Living in grace and truth, like Jesus, is so important. The third and final commandment is that we got to pray for those people that are in of the world. Pray for their salvation. And even pray for those who deny the humanity of Jesus. While this was written 2,000 years ago, it is very important to understand that this book is still relevant. There are still people to this day who deny Jesus' humanity and may claim themselves as believers. So pray for them. Do as Paul did, separate them, but pray for them. All right, y'all. That is everything here. The next episode, we'll talk about 2 John in depth. Hope you have a great day. Love you guys, and have a great night. Bye.